Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode number 142. Sorry, it's a little late today. Usually it comes out really early in the morning, but today it's coming out immediately as soon as it's recorded. My episode today is brought to you by audibletrial.com. Go to audibletrial.com/apologue to get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. It's funny. I guess it's over 180,000, so there's like more than 180,000, but it's 181,000, or is it 179,999,000. I don't know. Over is the easiest way. Just say it's over 180,000, Simon. Just get over it. Anyways, you can have all that stuff for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So go download your free audiobook today by going to and get your 30-day free trial by going to audibletrial.com/apologue. Hey, Amazon shoppers, do you like to shop on Amazon? I know that a bunch of you do this summer. I'm seeing a bunch of purchases, and that's very cool. And I want to let you know, if you're from Canada, you can go immediately to www.apologue.ca/Amazon. If you're from the United States of America, where the orange-faced monster lives, you can go to apologue.ca/US Amazon. Type in that URL, you will be redirected immediately to Amazon, and you can shop, and knowing that you'll be supporting the show, costs you no extra money. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can go to apologue.ca and click on the links on the right side, whether you're from Canada, United States, or the UK. Like I said, awesome. Thank you for all the people that are shopping on there. It's very cool and very helpful to the show. If you want to support the show on a monthly basis, you can go to patreon.com/apologue. You can pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees. And that is a very important thing. And I have amazing patrons that support this show. And every penny that comes in goes directly into the podcast hosting. So for sure, that's very, very helpful. And if anybody else wants to come in on that, go to patreon.com/apologue and become a patron. Thank you very much, all those people, like I said. If you want to buy a t-shirt, you can go to apologue.ca/shop. Also, I've put some music up for sale from my old band, Foursquare. Not old band, band. Buy a Foursquare discography for $20. If you're on iTunes, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Give it 5 stars. It's very helpful. And if you're on Facebook, everybody's on Facebook, you can like the show on Facebook by going to facebook.com/apologuepod. Check out, that's where all the news happens. That's where all the stuff happens. Or you can follow me on Simon, at SimonHead666 for Twitter. Today on the show is my favorite person on earth. He's Kyle Stanley. He's very soft-spoken, awesome. Minimal words, lots of meaning. I must say that on this episode, I did command the conversation a bit too much, but I talk a lot, you know, and he's a good listener. That's what we came up to the realization at the end. Also, there's a funny story about halfway through. So if you feel like we're just sort of rambling on, there's a neat story in the middle of the show that I think it's kind of a neat show in the middle. It sort of dictates what the music industry is all about. It's dirty, evil, monsters. They're all monsters. Everybody, here he is, one of my best friends on earth, Kyle Stanley, on the Apologue Podcast. Kyle.
Yep.
Your mic sounds good again today.
Oh, good. I was worried we'd have a delay again.
No, it's actually really clean.
Sometimes, yeah, so far so good.
Sometimes, you know what it is too? I'm wired in today. It probably was me, my internet. Because the wired internet obviously is great, but then when you do the wireless, I'm at the other end of the house, you know, and I don't have a very good connection sometimes. How you been, man?
I'm okay.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Busy the last month, yeah.
Yeah? What you been up to?
Working nonstop.
Where's the job?
The bookings.
Well, because you book for your girl from Melissa's thing though, right? So you'd be off.
She pretty much books those. She takes care of most of those ones.
Yeah.
But we may have wienered our way into getting some vacation out of this. There's a New Year's show like a couple years or a couple days before New Year's this year in West Palm Beach.
Ooh.
So we're probably going to head down there, do it shows at a country club. So we're probably just going to spend that day there and then probably stay a few extra days and just hang out on the coast.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yep. Sounds nice like warm fun. Weather. Birds yeah. I've never seen.
Yeah. No mosquitoes.
And then possibly heading to England for a TV thing. But I can't say any more about that.
Well, it's good. Stuff's happening. The life of the of Kyle Stanley is very exciting to me. Because you're always like, you're always doing
it something. Hasn't been the last few years, but I'm kind of amazed at some of the stuff I've gotten to witness in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Considering I don't think of myself as like the star of any story. I'm always the guy who's like standing next to Mark or standing next to you while something happens.
Well, no, you make your own destiny. That's a cool thing though, because you have always made your own destiny, but being a sideman is not, you know what I mean, when it comes to standing beside Mark. Mark's a pretty powerful figure, Mark Spikulak. He's a powerful person. And
that just seems to always have been where I was when the insane stuff happens.
Yeah. Well, true. And also the shadowing and being there as a part of it, you're part of that team. Like, don't undermine what, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, I could have had a much more boring life if I just did what I probably would have done on my own and just kept quiet, stayed in my basement. I'd still be playing Super Mario 3.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do anything else.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff. You know, I've just realized that these headphones I'm wearing are complete and utter sweat factories. Ah, kitty.
Check this kitty out. She's got one eye.
Oh.
Her name is Spy.
Spy. Oh, did you just get her?
Yep. She was, we do some work with a rescue out here in Hamilton. Like the last year we put together a calendar, Melissa and I, her and a bunch of women she knows through this rescue called Pride Rescue. And this girl was stolen from a breeder who had them all like packed in really small, damp, gross areas. And they all got infections and she lost an eye and almost lost the other one.
Wow. That's,
and now she's the sweetest cat in the world.
That's pretty crazy because usually animals are damaged at a young age. And then when you try to make them domesticate them, they kind of go like, no, especially cats.
We brought her here. We have three other cats. We open the crate. She just runs out, starts playing. And that night she slept on my chest.
Oh, wow. That's rare. When we first got our cat, we went to the shelter to pick a cat. And we had the kids with us. And some cats you could tell were just like damaged. Like they didn't want to come near you. They want to stay in their cage. And the lady who ran the place said, check this cat out. This cat is a great cat. We had to take the cat from the owner because he couldn't pay to get its vet bills done. And she goes, I always test the cat if they can handle kids, if you can sort of grab them by the back tail and lift their feet off the ground. That's their test.
Oh, so
if the cat freaks out, then it's like chances are that cat's going to be a pain in your ass for the whole life of that cat. So we got the cat. And our cat, though, is deathly afraid of going in a vehicle. Like, we take him just up the road. We have to put him in the car. But he will not go in the crate. Like, he does like a starfish on the door as you're trying to get him in the crate. So I take him and he buries his head into my arms. And he's like, I don't want to move anywhere because he knows he's getting in the car. When we get in the car, and he sheds like all his hair. Like, it's so traumatic. I bet you it'll probably take years off the life of the cat because we take him to the vet to have him looked after. Irony.
He was very friendly when I met him.
He is. He's a very friendly cat. And he's very, he's an indoor-outdoor cat, so we're not afraid of him. Like, but he does. He chases down friggin' like chipmunks, and he eats them. He leaves them at the front door. He eats moles. He's a killer.
Where'd he come from?
Well, we picked him up in Whippy at a shelter.
Oh,
and
right on.
His name is Steve. He has a chip in his ear. His name's Steve. And we called him Jack because he was a black cat. Called him Jack Black. And when he first got here, he got out and he was running around. He made his way down over to the dealership, and the lady took the cat to the animal rescue place, like the shelter, which was down in Port Perry. And we got a phone call. And he's like, do you have a cat named Steve? I'm like, a minute I almost said no. I'm like, oh, yeah, we do. Oh, because we got picked up, and I had to pick him up, and they let him go the first time for free. He said, next time we got to get your cat, it's like a $50 charge to if your cat's get caught and has to be taken into jail, cat jail, then you got to pay a fee. And so far, it's been so good. So he runs around the house. We love him. He's a great cat, great companion, actually. I never thought a cat would be so friendly.
Yeah, I've had them my whole life, so I'm fairly used to the cat lifestyle.
Our cat, when I was a kid, was a feral cat, and friends of our family put him in my mom's car because he was running around the neighborhood down by Lake Ontario. And so they put him in the car, and we drove him home, and he was in the car, from my memory. I think he hid in the car. So he came home, and there was this cat, and that was his way of getting rid of the cat because the cat was running around and, you know, creating havoc for his cats. So we got this cat, Whiskers, and that cat would disappear for 5 weeks at a time in the summer. It would go. And then as soon as you're like, I guess we don't have a cat anymore. And then boom, he's at the front door. You know what I mean? Like, he would go on a walkabout that I would love to put a camera on him, you know, be on his little adventures all over the place, because we never saw hide nor hair of him. He would just be gone. And that's where we thought maybe he's been run over or he's just gone forever.
I've had two cats, I think, in my life that just sort of showed up on my doorstep, started hanging out. I'm like, I guess you're mine now.
So do you take them and sort of neuter them and spay them and take care of them, shots and all that stuff?
Well, that's the plan. One of them showed up pregnant, had a bunch of kittens, and then got hit by a car.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. Well, that's the problem with animals. People say, we've talked about this before, when people say, you know, my dog is just like a human, just like a real person. And someone told me, he's like, yeah, but you can't put a real person down.
Yeah.
Can't kill. Or they're just like my kids. He said, well, you can't kill your kids. I'm sorry. It's something you just can't do, but you can kill your animals. I think I've told you this before. This is getting redundant, but we used to only get pets we could flush.
Yeah.
Like fish. That's it.
I've had many fish in my life too.
Yeah. I think we're ready for it.
I wouldn't mind that, actually, now. A big tank with all kinds of different little critters swimming around. There's some that are just so weird. There's like the regular fish-shaped ones, and then there's those ghost fish, the black and white, long. They look like combs almost.
Yeah, yeah. This
wavy fin at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a gecko, too, and the cat got to the gecko. That was bad. The gecko hid under the stove with no tail, but all that was left was the tail. And I thought the cat had eaten the gecko. And the kids are freaking out. My son came up and goes, Dad, the gecko's out of the tank and there's a tail and he's missing. And I'm like, I thought the cat was like going to throw up the gecko, like perfect timing, like right there in front of him, just to traumatize him just a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the gecko had to get put down. We had to put the gecky down because he grew his tail back, never looked the same. But I'm deathly afraid of reptiles, like anything, like even frogs, like they freak me out.
Really?
Yeah. Can't handle it. Just too wacky. I don't know why. Like, I don't, it's a thing about snakes and like lizards, anything that has a, you know, that type of disposition. They just freak me out. I wonder what that is.
They're heartless. They don't have like the capacity for emotion yet. They've only got the lizard brain. They're only thinking eat and stay safe.
So they'd be like the A&R people of Animal Kingdom, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Yeah. Birds are reptiles. Did you know that?
I did know that. Chickens are reptiles. Chickens are dinosaurs. That's why they eat each other.
They're all dinosaurs. That's the rule. That's how it works.
Yeah. You know, people said that Tyrannosaurus Rex used to have feathers.
Most of the upright ones did.
Yeah. Can you imagine a big-ass chicken running around? Like, buck up! And that was his sound? Because they kind of figured out what they make, the sound they make. But what if they just went, buck up! Buck up!
Like, really deep?
Yeah, buck up!
You can see how fast a chicken can peck the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, just think.
That hammer action. Wah! Yeah, just picture something the size of your house doing that.
Jesus. It is amazing that we survived as a human race, Kyle Stanley.
Well, fortunately, we were only small little shrew-like creatures back then.
That's true. You know, they found a whole race of hobbits? Like real little hobbit people.
Yep. There's near New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
Like in that corner? Yep.
It's funny to think that there's people living on an island somewhere who've never seen like a boat or know what the internet is.
Yeah, there's one island that attacks anyone who gets close to. I can't remember what it's called.
But you can throw them coconuts and stuff, and they'll take that food, and they'll look at you, and they're like, yeah! And then they run back in, and then they try to shoot you with their arrows.
Yeah, they send a drone over it, and it just comes back just pelted with stuff.
It's somewhere in the Polynesia, and they're in that area. Yeah, they're just this bunch of people who have no concept of what.
Yeah, there's just every time someone showed up to say hi, they've just gotten
killed, jacked.
Yeah,
yeah. And then, you know, the funny thing is, they got this boat or whatever they came with, and they're like, "Fuck that boat! I don't want that boat. I'm gonna go back in here and go eat these people." Can't accept change right now, thank you.
What do you think you could pull in alive if you had to? You're stuck with no food with a bunch of dead people. And would you do it?
Would I eat people? That's a good question. I would probably. I'm a pretty rational person, and I'm not afraid to eat like crazy food if I need to. So I'd probably say, yeah, I would eat your butt if I had to.
I probably would.
But if it's just me and you alive, and all we had was to eat each other, maybe we could just take a little bit of each other and eat each other slowly, and then we'd heal. And then we could say, "Well, I'm hungry. Okay, great. Just take. Don't cut there. I'm healing."
Just a little bit of the back of my bicep.
Yeah, yeah, but don't cut that tendon. Then I'll be screwed, and then you'll have to eat all of me, and I'll spoil. And then you have a rotten me. Yeah, and then you have to find salt somewhere and salt my bones and my body and then make a soup. Yeah. No, you'd have to do it so you can regenerate. What's that called? That's called something. I mean, that's called sustenance. Well, it's called sustainability. That's what it is.
The way of the future.
That is. You just eat a little bit of your partner. I don't know. I think, though, if I was in a massive plane crash, I would just like to just die. I think I'd be, okay, we're done. I'm good. I don't need to live. It would suck.
I really wouldn't be happy being stuck on, say, in the top of a mountain range or in a jungle and having to find my way out.
I mean, here's another circumstance. If a big rock came out of space and hit the earth and killed half the population, would you rather be eviscerated immediately or live and recreate society? Because, you know, I've seen Walking Dead, and that's just a fucking, like, a virus people get. You imagine if a rock came and brought, like, 1,000-foot tidal waves and killed half the population or whatever, or if they broken half the earth and all that stuff, and then all you have to do is survive. I think I'd rather just be burnt up.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I wouldn't mind seeing how things go for a while. I'd be really curious to see what the outcome of that is.
You know, it'll be chaos, right? Because people.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because people who are religious be like, "What the fuck, God? Why did you do this? Why? Why did you send a big rock from the sky?" Or they will be the ones to say, "God brought this big rock from space, and he's going to kill us all, even though space doesn't Earth. And I don't know how it hit the flat Earth, but somehow it did. Because at that point, we're turned on its side, and you think we're thinner." I don't know. I'm no scientist, but I think that, even the flat Earth people would be like, "This sucks. Like, this dispels everything." You know, I think I'd rather, I don't know, man, because would you rather be like, called a heretic or whatever, go back 5,000 years in life in history or how society functions, or just rather remember that the internet was awesome and steaks in the barbecue was awesome? I don't know.
And just go out with all that?
Yeah.
Well, I'd probably hang out on my own. I'd probably head out to the forest, take a few lighters and some paper.
Pen.
And it was just to make it on my own for a while.
I tell you, though, it would really ruin the podcast industry. Would be completely screwed. There'd be no reasons for podcasts. But what would take place of podcasts? Like, really?
We'd go back to the storytelling around the fire.
That's right. Yeah, or we make a little amphitheater and people come and then we'll, like, sit here and talk and pretend mics, but there'll be chunks of wood on sticks.
Just have to, like, project your voice.
Yeah, no problem. I have to keep speaking on the side of my mouth so people can hear what I'm talking about.
What have you done since the apocalypse?
Well,
a lot of foraging, actually.
Yeah, actually, I'm not going to tell you all my secrets because you're going to come over here and take it all. That's what's happening. I've got nothing. In fact, I'm so hungry and starving that I think everybody in the crowd should donate 4% of their food to me. Every time you shop on the tree over there that I have, give me 4% of it. So I start my affiliate program with the cherry tree out of my front yard, which is actually growing cherries for the first time, by the way.
What was wrong with it before?
It hadn't grown cherries for like 10 years. We planted it as a little stick. And it's now 15 feet in the air, and it's got cherries on it. First year.
Wow, that's I didn't realize it took that long.
I think it was our fault. Like, what we should have done is actually planted something that flowered beside it, and then it could cross-pollinate, and then bees would be able to figure it out and go, oh, hey, there's flowers over here, but there's we could put flowers over on these flowers, because it never actually bloomed until this year. Last year, it bloomed one bloom, grew one cherry, and a fucking squirrel ate it. I saw it. I was like,
you do any proper gardening up there? Vegetables or anything?
No. No, we have a... We're kind of like... Our backyard is like a jungle. And there are some really nice flowers and lots of really nice every... What are they called? Perennials? Like, real nice stuff comes out. And but we just can't manage it. Like, it's where I throw all the dead carcasses of... is it carcai? Carcasses of, like, squirrels and moles. So I'm afraid to go in there because I think there's probably 40 dead chipmunks back there, like a whole family. And the other fact is it just is hard to manage because there's actual little trees in there and stuff. So I can't just run it all over with our lawnmower. But we're coming up with a plan where we can actually use the backyard like a backyard, because right now it's just a spot that holds grass and our little shed and stuff. And I wanted to build a podcast studio back there, but I'm not allowed. So I could actually have my own world where everything, my mess, because this mess is, I don't know if you, well, nobody can see at home, but it's getting, it's migrating. Like, see, there's the other 3D printers there now, and it's functional. And I got one in the closet, but this area, I have like a 10 by 10 box, and I wanted to build this into a room, but I wasn't allowed. So take that, Spring McRae.
Yeah, you moved the drums to the opposite corner now. What's in the other side?
Over there? We got TV and couch sectional stuff. Yeah, we've actually started. We put furniture in the place, but it's still like it's a I need a spot. And unfortunately, like the recording studio that's like 20 minutes from here, for me, I can't do this there because there's no internet, and so I can't actually use it as a proper studio space. And bands I've been recording lately, I've just been recording at their house or here. So there's like really no need for me to pick all this shit up and move it somewhere right yet. But I think I might be doing that next week. I'm finishing off this record with this band called Hang Time. And we got to run a bunch of the guitar amps back through, like real guitar amps. And then we'll do some mixing up there. And all this stuff will probably sit up there while we go away on our holiday. I'm not going to tell you when, but we're going on a 3-week holiday this summer. Mm-hmm. Going camping. Out east, by the way.
I think you mentioned that already.
Yeah, we're really excited about it, actually. It's a real family holiday. First real, like, period of time holiday. Like, we've taken a week here and a week there, and we've gone to Mexico and done a family holiday. But this is one, like, that I think is going to be for the, I think it's going to be for the records. It's going to be great, because I love driving. My kids hate driving. Spring doesn't like driving, but they love camping. I'm on the fence on camping. I'll do it. I like it. It's fun. But the driving part's exciting, because I want to introduce my family to the exciting world of looking out the window while you're driving down the road. It's going to be my new mandate. Like, you know, you guys got your movies, like you got your Hobbit on the TV there, but I used to count license plates that had the number 5 in them. Yeah. I mean, like, that's what I used to do.
I pretend that in the windshield wipers on my dad's car, they sort of folded over and made this tiny circle between the one blade that bends and the other blade that doesn't.
Yeah.
So I just bullseye other cars in it and pretend I was lasering them.
How old were you? 28.
Yeah.
22.
25.
Yeah. I'm excited. We got a little trailer. We got a little tow behind trailer that we're going to put all the stuff in. And it's also going to double as a little bit of a good little band, equipment hauler too, because it's a 4x6 trailer. You'll fit a full backline back there, my friend. That's
how far are you going?
Oh, we're going as far as PEI, mother, brother, buddy. Yeah, we're going to PEI. We're going up to New Brunswick, not Newfoundland, but we're going to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, through Quebec, and back, basically.
Right on.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be fun.
I like PEI. I like the experience, but there was something about the we got there on a rainy day, right, and it was all puddly at the side of the road, and the color of the dirt in PEI,
mm-hmm,
it's all red. red.
Yeah.
And it made the puddles this really sort of weird red. It was just felt wrong. It felt like I was like in a dream almost where things look real, but something's just a little off. And it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. We're taking the bridge across, and then I think we're gonna take the ferry back. So that's our plan. Because the ferry is just like if you ever went to Victoria back in the day, it's the exact same because they have these big massive ferries now that go to Victoria.
But yeah, I've been on both.
Yeah, they're a little smaller and they're a little bit more cozier. But yeah, so we're going to take the ferry back from PEI and I think taking the bridge over. It's expensive, man. The bridge is like $60 with the trailer.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, man. So that's our plan for the summer. Huh?
They got to make their money somewhere.
I know, right? It's a big bridge. Probably costs a lot of money to make. I'm not slighting them, but it is pretty expensive to drive on a bridge. And if, I don't know if anybody's driven across, but if you can't see over the edge, it's like this big concrete wall. Yeah. If you drive a big semi truck, you could probably just see over the wall. And it's a 2-lane.
And it takes forever.
Yeah, it's like 5 kilometers or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bizarre when you're on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you got any plans for this summer?
Not really anything fun, no.
Yeah.
No. Saving the fun for the New Year's vacation.
Yeah, man, that sounds like an exciting little holiday. Yeah, and, you know, just I got nothing to really record this summer. I'm just gonna try and hang out and try to get through the year at my job. It's been really busy, and I need to stay home more. So that's my plan. I'm not going to record as much bands as I did this first 7 months. I recorded 2 or 3 bands. And, you know, it's just like, it's too much, man. It's too much hard on your constitution. I'm making these little controller boxes for a program called QLab.
Yeah.
So that's the face. Oh, this is bad pod, but I'll show you later. But essentially, it's a controlling box for this software we use in the theater called QLab. And I've got these little boards. They're called teensy boards. And they're literally about this, like an inch by 2 inches. And what you can do is wire buttons to it. And then you can tell these buttons that, hey, that button is the space bar. And in QLab, space bar means play. So I got 5 buttons that do 5 different things in QLab that I've programmed these little boards to tell it. But the good thing about it is that not only can it control one computer, but can control 2 at the same time. So if you're doing a really important show and a computer cacks out, you got another one running in the background that's not going to, you know, you're not going to really lose, you know, the whole show. Because that's the problem now. Like, at least if you had a CD player or a CD and something went wrong, you just put the CD in another player and hope it would work. But if you got all the information sitting on a USB or whatever and the USB dies, then you got only the computer. And if the computer dies and you don't have a USB, you're fucked, you know. So, I don't know, like, I say this a lot, but I don't know if I've said this on the show, but the job I do, the most important part of my job is not looking like a boob. Don't raise attention in a show to you. So, anything you can do, this is good advice for the kids at home. Any advice, like, that I can give is don't raise attention to yourself. Anything you do loses. You lose trust with your client. You lose you just lose your whole morale. And the problem with making mistakes as a human is that you say, I'm not going to make any mistakes. And then you make 100 mistakes because you're too worried about not making mistakes. It's like telling somebody, hey, you got to calm down when they're all up agitated. It doesn't work.
No, not at all.
No. So that's go ahead.
So that's just something you're doing on your own? Like, they don't mind if you just make something, bring it in and use it?
Yeah. I made one already. I made a prototype and I brought it in. And my coworker is like, the other sound guy, he's like, this is the best thing ever. Because it's got a bigger, I'll show you, hold on, just real fast. I might just edit this part out, but it's got a big green button and a big, big red button.
Yep.
And then it's got scrolling buttons up and down and then pause and play buttons. And I can make this thing with different colored faceplates. So I can make it a black or a blue or a red. I got some other stuff. And I got a smaller version of it too that only controls one computer. And I just built this thing and I put it on Facebook saying, what do you think? And people are like, I want one. So now I'm starting to like figure out like how to produce them at a faster rate.
That's insane. It looks like something out of a cartoon. The little it's just a little box with the little colored buttons on it.
Yeah. Someone said it looks like Simon, actually, the game Simon. It's a funky thing because when I looked at it, I'm like, this is neat because it's just a bunch of buttons in a box. Like there's, but for some reason, there's something completely satisfying when you hit the button. Is that weird? Like whoever's a psychologist out there, please figure out what that means, because people have been hitting keyboards their whole life. Like you could just hit spacebar, and if that red button is actually escape, you know, and there's a few quick keys in here, that is. But that seems so lame compared to having a brightly colored, funky little box. I already sold one. It's funny. And I think I might make it a build your own kit. Like, so you can just get the enclosure and all the guts and then inside, and then you can wire it up yourself. And I think that's what people are going to want to do. They're just going to want to build themselves. Because I had a tremendous time like designing it. And I'm fortunate enough to have a 3D printer, so I'd made my own layout. But people could make their own out of a wooden box if they wanted to. Like, there's no, I don't have a judgment thing. But you can buy the enclosure, and then it looks like a neat little box that someone made. So it's a funky thing. I'll show, hold on a sec. It's the little one, the little buddy. And then it's the little guy.
That looks more like a Simon, yeah.
Yeah, here, hold on. Get it closer there.
It's so colorful and childishly simplistic.
Right? I think that's what it's keying into. People are like, it looks like a cool little button I used to play as a kid.
And I have to add a photo to the show notes or something.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Because it's, I think it's a winner. Like, the funny thing is, I put just a quick website up and I called it Q-Box. And I put it on my Insight Recorder's website feed. So it's like its own website. And I'm looking at the statistics and the analytics, and people from all over the place, like America, people I don't know, are obviously typing into Google QLab controller. And they're coming upon my website. And there's another website that does it too, a couple other websites that build this box. Mine's, because it seems so DIY, I think it's more of a solution for people, because it can kind of look like I built this, you know what I mean? Like, it's mine, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's a little tag I can take off, and you can put your own name tag on it if you want. So, you know what I mean? So it's kind of a personalized item. And people from everywhere are like logging in, like finding my website. That's not even a real website. It's Insight Recorders like /QBox. And people are jumping on it, like maybe 20 a day. That's a lot. I mean, for no advertising, you know, it's neat.
Little Simon Edison over here.
That's right. Anybody want it? The cool thing is, if you have an idea and you want it to work as a USB, I can actually just say whatever button you want it to do. I can just lay the whole thing out. So you can make a special one. Like, if you always send emails, you could make a macro in it that always puts your signature on it, or puts like any sort of random like email signature. Like, or you can have a save button. So if you're always working in something and you want to save it and you don't want to use two fingers, you actually hit this green button that says save. Like, so there's a few things, not just QLab, but you can branch out with it if you want. So yeah, man, little entrepreneurial fever there.
Elon Musk, this is where he started, making little boxes in his basement.
Next is going to be a big button that does much more.
Maybe some dials.
Oh, you stop your face right there.
A toggle switch? I think my favorite invention ever. Have you ever seen the box that just has a little like toggle switch on it? You press it, like knocks the toggle over, and then a little piece on the top of it opens up and a hand comes out and turns it back off.
I no.
Like, it's that's the only point of it. You press it and it turns itself back off.
Oh, that's awesome.
My favorite invention in the world.
Yeah. No, I've never seen that. But the other thing, the other thing this kind of keys into is, you know, the Staples "That Was Easy" button. You hit the button, yeah. It goes, "That was easy."
Yeah.
That's a thing. That was a phenomenon. Like all the Susies and Barbaras and all the administrative workers all over the world, all over the Staples like shopping, would get this thing and say, "Oh, that's the best thing ever," and then hit "That was easy." You know, that's a thing.
Mark had it in his car for like 3 years on the dashboard.
People are turning those into other things too. That's the funny thing. They turn them into like, you know, game controlling things and stuff. Like, yeah, that was easy. Man, so have you seen any good birds lately?
No, actually. It's probably been about 6 weeks since I saw anything new. We haven't really had a chance to get out. Melissa went up to Bala for a show last weekend, and she said she didn't see anything new either.
What show?
A bunch of vultures, but we always see vultures.
I saw turkey vultures, actually. I hadn't seen them in ever, actually, on the side of the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all we have around here.
Really? No, I'd never seen one, like, in a real, like, just there. Like, obviously, they were on the side of the road, or I guess they were eating something. But it was weird.
Yeah, I saw the first one I saw here was down at the shore at the Bayfront Park. It was just standing with its wings, like, wide open, standing over a carcass of a salmon.
Oh.
Like, it flew off, and then we walked over to see, like, what, are these eggs or something? No, it was just a
dead
rotting,
fish.
Gross fish.
Yeah. No, those things are weird-looking little creatures, man. Speaking of dinosaurs, what happens?
Salmon are pretty ugly, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. What happens if, like, birds all of a sudden have no, like, reason to not be small? Like, what if they start? We already have, like, what are those whatever those ones that pick up goats and throw them off the side of the mountain?
Golden eagles.
Condors, or yeah, yeah. What if we get more of those, like, that fly around and they go, you know what? We could jack humans now. Like, we just pick them up, throw them off a hill, and we're good. Like, how would your walk to work?
move to the prairies.
Yeah. How would your walk to work be actually realizing that there's going to be a big friggin', like, condor over your shoulder? It's going to pick you up and throw you off something.
That would probably make a lot of people spend more time at home.
It probably could open up condor hunting season too, like, all the time.
You don't need to. Johnny Cash almost wiped out the condor. Didn't you know that?
No, I did not know that.
A car broke down or something, and he started a forest fire that took out almost every California condor there was.
Oh, Johnny.
Yep. Oh. Happy he's dead then.
Fuck Johnny. Yeah, Rick Rubin, what are you trying to revitalize the condor killers? I'm sure you gave him a pass. But
what's the deal with the people our age just dying all the time now? Think about the 90s wave. You know how many singers are left from that, like the early 90s? One, Eddie Vedder. He's the only one left.
And he's hiding somewhere right now. He's probably in Hawaii, like surfing, because he's afraid.
As soon as all those died, he showed up at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in a huge crowd with a spotlight on him.
I smell conspiracy theory, Kyle Stanley.
Oh, he's wiping them all out.
It's him. He comes across as this kind of like hippy dippy kind of guy, but you know what? He's the one responsible for. You've heard it here, folks. First, he's responsible for all the deaths of, because he needs to. Really, he's a capitalist pig. You know that whole thing they went to fight over, like Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster, yeah.
Well, he's really in it with them. You know, look what's happening right now with Trump. Like, he was probably in with the Russians. Now, Eddie Vedder's in it with Ticketmaster, and he wiped out all the competition, started his own, and now Ticketmaster doesn't do, I don't know what I'm trying to say. But Chris Cornell's dead, and that's all I got to say. That's all I got
to
say.
From now on, we have to call him Darth Vedder.
You just come up with that?
Oh, I'm sure that's been said.
Dad humor right there.
Yeah.
I'd like to extrapolate this a little bit more, but I think that Eddie Vedder is probably the coolest person to talk to ever. I don't know why. He seems like a really neat dude.
You mean conversationally?
Yeah, conversationalist. I think his music was over, like the early music was super douchey and stupid, but I think as a person, I think he was probably he's pretty cool.
I think he's had some work done.
I think if anyone is friends with Neil Finn, is okay by me. And Eddie Vedder is friends with Neil Finn, so he's okay by me. Oh, man. I like, I don't really never really liked Eddie Vedder's music. I think he is probably the rarest occasions where I just don't like the music. I just can't get into it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the real accomplishment now, though, is just being alive.
Yeah, it's true. All he has to do now is put sounds of him clapping his hands, and it will sell because there's nobody left from the 90s. Oh, wait, Collective Soul's doing a tour. They're doing they're filling the void of old shitty 90s music, and they're doing a show with Treble Charger and Our Lady Peace.
Are you doing sound for that show?
Not a fucking clue. No, I'm not. Not a chance. You know what? It's out in the open now. I can officially tell my been ripped off story.
Oh, okay.
Because I've never been paid. Let's mark the occasion here. I worked for this group that had Chantel Kreviazyk and Rain Maida in it. I recorded them. I should put this at the very start. Because it's a good, you know, anybody probably just skip to like 30-minute mark. But I recorded this thing in the basement of this bar called Revival, and it was their part of their documentary, and it was a live show for their documentary. More on that. I recorded it. I left the night, and I told them, who do I invoice? And they said, invoice this company, which I did. And I said, once I've received payment, I will send the files. And they'll be sent through my server. And if you have a problem getting it through this website, you can go directly and download this app called FileZilla. Anybody's worked a file, website, anybody who's done video editing will know what I'm talking about. Get that money. And then it's like a day before my birthday, and we're just about to go out to see a movie for my birthday. I get a email saying, we can't get the files. I send another email back saying, okay, we use the same login credentials. Tell the guys in LA to get FileZilla. They'll know what I'm talking about, or put me in touch with them. They can get it and they'll be fine. Okay, well, we're having troubles. We can't get this and this and that. So she completely ignored the fact of what I was talking about and said, well, what I need you to do is put all the files on a USB and drive them down to Toronto for me. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, what do you want me? So you want me to go buy a USB key from Staples before the movie I'm about to go see, and then drive it down to you, ignore the fact that I'm supposed to do a birthday thing, and just drive it down to Toronto. And by the way, she said, I'm at Ossington, just north of Queen. And I'm like, well, that's not an address. That's an area. Yep. And she said, why don't you throw it in an Uber? And an Uber would be hundreds of dollars to come from Pickering to Uxbridge to Toronto and then back to Pickering is what you'd pay for. More on that. So she said, what about a cab? I said, a cab would be like $300. It's like driving to the airport from here. I said, tell you what I'll do, because I want to see your crazy face. I'll buy the USB stick. I'll copy it over, and I'll drive it down after this movie. And I went and bought a USB stick. I drove to Staples. That was easy. And it was like 2 minutes before closing, and I bought a USB stick that was big enough to hold their stuff. And that was about a 64-gigabyte key. Cost about $60. So I go to the movie, I copy it over, I get in the car, finally have an address, and she's sending me emails while I'm in this movie theater going, I need to hear back from you. I'm not hearing back from you. I need this information. I need you to do this right now, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I already told him, I'm going to the movie. I'll be down at 12:30 at night. Give me an address. So she finally sends me an address somewhere in Castle Frank on Spadina Road. I'd love to give you all the address, by the way, but I can't. So I get in my car and I drive. An hour and a half there and an hour and a half back. This is getting long. I don't care. Thank you. So 3 hours of driving. And I told her before I even got in the car that I'm going to invoice you for this because you are being completely unreasonable with not letting me contact the people, your business people in Los Angeles, to be able to get these files directly to their editing computers. You know? So I get in the car, 3 hours there, 3 hours back. So what I charged her for, 21 cents a kilometer, my hourly rate to work as a recording engineer, and the USB stick, turned out to be $228. I invoiced her that. I heard nothing on the Sunday, this Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday. I emailed her on Thursday saying, what's going on? Did you get everything okay? Friday, nothing. Saturday, get an email back saying, well, we've talked internally, and we feel, we, meaning Rain Maida, Chantel Kreviazyk, and her, have said that we feel that you've overcharged us. And we feel that if you would have put it in an Uber, which don't even come up here, by the way, and if they did, it would be a $75 just to get here, then it would be whatever. Regardless, it'd be more. if you would have done that, it would have been charged, whatever, it would have been $150. So tell you what, why don't you send us an invoice for $150 and we'll pay that? And I replied, the invoice is the invoice. And if you're not willing to pay exactly what I did, then I'd rather just not get paid. And I'll let karma deal with the rest of it. And that was it. Nothing, nada. I ended up speaking by chance to one of the coalition managers who probably should remain nameless. And he said, I'm going to talk to them. This sounds fishy. Let me talk. And let me deal. Nothing. So I guess this is a dead deal. So Ray Maida and Chantal Kraviazic, I hope your USB stick is corrupted. I hope this comes back and bites you on the ass. Rain, you seemed like a very cool person. So I'm very pissed off because I've been ripped off by punk rock bands. I've been ripped off by Much Music. I've been ripped off by major. Virgin Mobile has ripped me off. I just can't be ripped off anymore. Like, I'm fed up. I'd rather just record bands for free and just come by and do something for that's good for society. Why don't you give to a charity? And then you can come record with me. And I'll record you because I like to do it. I don't like chasing people down for money. That doesn't seem fair, right?
No, the job was the job. After that, the invoice is the job.
Exactly. So that's just one of those things. I feel good. I got it off my chest, but I should probably, bleep out the C word or get rid of it. We don't want to let emotions ride too high. But listen, man, Chantal Kraviazic has got a very bad reputation in this industry, and everybody should know that. And I'm sure even people who, even people, like she went and came and did a charity show, and she got paid really good for it to come and play a charity show at my theater, by the way. So that's part of their budget, is to pay her to come in and say the piano's too small. It's lit. That's what she said. And there's several people who've worked in her crew who've been completely ignored over the years and been undermined and have been, been manipulated. And, I will never work for that group, period. I like people that work at Coalition. I like them all. They're all great people. Just that whole business practice with their band, that band especially. I don't think Moonverse Sun isn't even on their roster. So it was really nice for the Coalition guy to actually do something about it or try to do something about it. But have you ever been like really betrayed like that?
No, I've always been the guy in the background.
Yeah.
A little, but that was just while I was record labeling, and it wasn't specifically at me, just mm-hmm. the company I worked for.
It's one of those weird things. Like, we work in art, like, you know what I mean? And how do you separate between art and business? Like, that's a tricky, fine line where people are good at it. Like, I'm not, but some people are really good at it. I suck at it.
No, me too. I always felt kind of guilt. The whole art thing kind of messes with my mind that way, in the way that you're a painter, right? Whether you're good or not, you're putting something on a canvas, and then you're saying, hey, if anyone wants this, it's $200.
Yeah.
Someone might, and someone might think it's garbage. I'd always feel like kind of ripping this person off who bought this painting for $200, and like, I can see there's flaws. I can see I missed what I was going for here, and stuff like that. Like, getting paid for a show where I was like, did you guys notice that I fucked up that one fill? Like, are you going to take money off for that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's
no, just go up and do whatever. We'll pay you. It always felt uncomfortable to me.
Well, I feel that if you have an expense that's incurred with what you do, say I have a recording studio, it's pretty expensive. I've completely, almost every piece of equipment in this recording studio has been upgraded over the past 2 years. So there's nothing short of maybe this mic, nothing in this room that I, maybe the mic stands and some mics in that kit. Everything has been completely overturned. And to do that is probably a $15,000 bill to do that. So that means I need to record a certain amount of days per month or per year to be able to put on a five-year plan all this equipment to be paid off. And that's always been my business model. Like when I buy something, and this is actually good advice from my dad, is he said, don't overextend yourself. And if you can afford it, make sure you can actually pay for it. You know, make sure you can pay for what your business will pay for what it needs to pay, and you get paid too. And that was something that I've used very well. And it's like I said, everything I bought now can work, and it will work for the next 5 or 10 years, and it will be able to be replaced in 5 or 10 years because I've put a plan in place that will pay for itself. You know, doesn't mean I need to record every band under the sun. If I did, it would probably turn into a 1 or 2 year plan, everything. And then I just get bigger, nicer stuff. But this whole idea of charging something, now my life is so, it's recording isn't that part of it anymore. Like, I love doing it, but it's not how I make my money, you know, and it's not how you should, you know, I just had a bad time while I was making my money. As I wasn't delivering very good product because I was too busy recording and I was too angry at the bands that came and recorded because they were too shitty. You know, I was stuck in that rut, you know, of recording shitty bands all the time. I feel like I've just commanded the whole conversation on this, Kyle. I apologize.
No, that's good. It's about time people got to hear from you and not your guests.
I'm just looking at the recording waves. I'm like, God, Kyle's... I feel like I've completely taken over.
All I have to say today is watch the new episode of Game of Thrones last night.
Oh, I missed. I got a DVR'd. Yeah.
Came to the realization I'm really happy my life doesn't involve carrying swords and having to camp in snow.
Did you watch Better Call Saul?
Yep.
What'd you think?
Sad. Devastating.
Yeah.
Beautiful, though. Like, this was... I think one of the best looking things I've ever seen on TV or in movies.
Yeah, they definitely. Some of
those outdoor shots are just insane. And I love the parts where it was just like 10 minutes of silence watching Mike do something.
Yeah. The idea. Well, they took a lot of those ideas from Breaking Bad. Like when they have that big wide angle shot of like deserts and stuff. Like, but it's just so beautiful. You're right. Like that shot so well. I never thought Bob Odenkirk would actually be that good of an actor, you know.
You know, he's very similar to you in terms of as an observer, eh?
You think so?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Simon and Bob Odenkirk.
I never drew that comparison, really. Yeah. There you go.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well,
especially when he's doing, like, his act. You can see, like, his, like, hey, tell you what, I'll give you that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's the same light under your eyes, I think.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. No, he's definitely when the Mr. Show was out, he was definitely I love David Cross, but Bob was such a great straight guy and straight man in the whole thing. Like, he had his wacky moments too, but I love the way they separated Mr. Show with David Cross being sort of the out there weirdo kind of crazy dude, and then Bob Odenkirk. But when he had his moments, it was also as just weird and crazy. Like, did you watch Netflix with David?
Oh, the new one. Yeah. I thought the new one was really good. Yeah. But now the funny thing is, like, I'm a huge fan of everyone who's the supporting cast on that show.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who they were the first time, like Paul F. Tompkins and John Ennis and Brian Posehn, all the guys who were just like in the background.
Yeah.
Like, now I know who they all are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, they're fantastic.
I think there's going to be a time when they're actually going to be in the same room. Like, the Breaking Bad scene is going to somehow cross over. Like, how awesome would it be where there's been some sort of Breaking Bad scene and you go back and you see that, oh, shit, this is the same scene that happened in Breaking Bad. Like, it has to eventually cross over somehow.
A little, yeah.
Where he's...
like a small town.
Yeah. Even when, like... When Saul creates his new office with like the weird pillars of justice and stuff, they're gonna go through all that stuff, and it's all laid there in Breaking Bad. Like, even if they did a cameo with, you know, Aaron Paul came in for a second and left or something, and then it was like, oh, that was the scene that was, you know what I mean? It would be so nerdy and awesome that they could cross it over without doing like, you know, Simpsons meets the Family Guy, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of idea,
or even one of the. Like Badger or Skinny Pete or
Well, I'm excited.
There's another thing that's confusing. Speaking of the whole like Game of Thrones swords and snow.
Yeah.
They're in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah.
And
Game of Thrones.
You notice during Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Aaron Paul's wearing like a hoodie and a toque outside for a lot of it.
Because he's crazy. Crazy people don't smell. They don't have sense of temperature.
Wouldn't you drop though? Wouldn't you just turn all red and just fall over?
You ever been downtown? Go downtown and see the homeless guy wearing the big long jacket and a hoodie? That guy's
crazy.
I would
never, ever be into hip hop in the desert. Ever.
I wonder if one could make a brand of hip hop wear for the Albuquerquean. Like super thin, but looks thick and badass.
Oh, yeah. All
the thongs breathes, on. Has fans built in. for the desert wearing hip hop guy.
Fans built in like the Disney character costume.
It just puffs out like a fucking balloon. Woo, that's better. I said better. Man, So I gotta do some editing. This episode's actually coming out as soon as it's done because I had such a busy week. I didn't have time to actually do an interview, but I do got some good people coming up. You know, the voice of that's subjective, really. But the voice of Tupi from Tupi and Binu.
Yeah,
I'm Frank Mickelschmidt or something. He's coming on the show, not as the voice of Tupi. But he's coming on.
Are you gonna make him do it?
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm going to get him to say all sorts of stuff in the Tupi voice.
I saw them live at Ontario Place about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
My daughter's sitting there. She's 6 years old.
Yeah.
And she's just sitting, like, you know, on those, like, metal benches they have in front of, like, the little stages.
Yeah, yeah.
And for no reason, just sitting there, just falls off, lands on her face.
Oh, shit.
Now has a huge cut on her forehead for the rest of the day.
Well, it's just so hot, like she just passed out.
No, not even. She just wasn't paying attention and blah.
Wiped out. Well, I got to let you in on a secret, though, that the guy that wears the big rat head in the live show, that's not the guy from Tupi and Binu. I have to, spoiler alert, but that's probably some teenager getting paid minimum wage. And from what I hear, those costumes are super hot. Like you could die in those things.
Like wearing a massive teddy bear.
Exactly. It's like wearing, like, it's like being a homeless person with a, yeah. So, yeah. So he's coming on the show, but he doesn't just do that. He does this puppet show. He does a couple of different puppet shows, but he's a puppeteer by trade and he is very funny and he's a super, actually, he was a really neat guy. He was super artistic. And we had him at our theater like was it winter time? And it was like one of the best shows I've ever seen, like puppetry wise, like, you know, kind of be a little weird. Like it was weird, but it was really funny. But then I went back there and realized, I'm like, oh my God, he's the voice of Tupi. I'm just like, you know, my kids would think you're a rock star. And he goes, well, you know, and it, you know, cause they took his voice and they put it all over everywhere. They even have like resorts, like Sunwing Resorts, Tupi and Binu escape getaway thing. Like they've exploited the crap out of him, but he's okay with it. He's like, that's my voice. Like, I hear it all over the place. And the weird thing was, like, 3 or 4 months before that, we had actually put Tupi and Binu on, which was a canned recording of him talking. And he told me, he goes, yeah, there's, like, 5 or 6 different versions of that show out, you know, touring all over the North American and Europe and whatever. All his voice. Crazy, huh?
Yeah. Good entertainment.
I think it will be. I think his story would be kind of neat because we just talked for, like, 10 minutes. I'm like, man, you're an interesting dude. You got to come on the show. So that'd be fun. Who else got lined up? I don't really have anybody else lined up for the week after, but I have to prepare. I'm going to do some best ofs because I'm going away for a couple of weeks over the summer. And, I don't want to make sure that there's episodes. And I already asked you to do an episode and it seems like.
Couldn't find anybody. What's funny about that is though, I found a place I can record for free. So.
Well, it's right there. You're right at it, man.
Nope. Don't have the software.
You can get Reaper. It's free.
That would work?
Yeah. Shit, yeah. Get Reaper. It's free.
All right, I'll try it. In case you ever get, you're short for a week or anything, just let me know for a couple weeks ahead and I can throw something together.
I'm going to be short in about 3 weeks from now.
Okay, I can try to do something.
Do something, man. It'd be fun. Even we don't need to put it out on a Monday. We put it out on Tuesday. Tuesday be your episodes. I always thought it'd be kind of neat to turn this into a daily thing with different people. Like, it doesn't have to be me all the time. I'm okay with it, you know?
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Yeah, you know, if you want to do a Thursday and you like it, then just do keep just do Thursdays, and then that way it all is an equal distance between the Mondays and the Thursdays, and we can split it up and have fun and make more episodes, and I don't know, be fun, right? And then if there's something that happens where you got to go away, then I'll just cover your episode or something. I don't know, it'd be a fun thing to do.
I got a place.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you don't have to pay for it, right?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. Always, always, if you want to do something, let me know. I've actually taken the podcast, so it only just does one. I tried to set it up so it does several different podcasts, like a network, but it screwed up my podcast. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I should probably have a priority of what podcast needs to get seen and heard. And because I made one for you, and I had it sitting there ready to go, but yours worked, but mine didn't. So I took it away.
That's weird.
I don't know. Yeah, it was the way, because with WordPress, where the way you set it up as a multi-site, your feed changes because, I don't know why, smart kids know why, but it changes your iTunes feed. So I tried to link it back again, and it wasn't working right, and I lost like 2 weeks of episodes. So then I just went, okay, or something didn't happen, or it wasn't loading right. So I just went back to the original way. That's a boring story. But anyways, I think we had some fun conversation. Yeah, it started a bit slow, but we'll do this again. I really enjoy talking to you. You're a fun guy to talk to. You listen well. This one, you're a good listener.
Yeah, I was a very good listener today.
That's important, Kyle. You got to listen more. Well, not you, but me. We all got to listen more. That's a good way to end it.
Then right into the... Duh.
Has he done the show that many times that he knows? Has he listened to that many shows? Oh, boy. That's very cool. Kyle Stanley, favorite person on Earth. Here he is. Just have a nice little hour-long conversation with an old friend. That was fun. Like I said, that rant in the middle about the Chantel and Rain thing. I'm okay if you want to go on social media and want to tell everybody about how they rip people off. That's cool. I'm okay with that. I don't think there's any real lawsuit that can get attached to that somehow. I think it's true. I invoiced them and they haven't paid my invoice. So, I guess was it bad business? I don't know. Why don't we start a conversation on Facebook about that? Why don't you go to Apolog Pod? Well, actually, why don't you go to facebook.com/Apolog Pod and start the conversation based on that? And I would love to have a conversation with Rain and or Chantel about this. If they think that I've overcharged them in any way, then understand that it costs money to do stuff like what they were asking for. And there was a simple solution, yet their manager or whoever was doing the thing, I didn't even get into the whole dirty part of it, because there's an even dirtier part of it, believe it or not, that to me, there was an even weirder, unspeakable part that I can't speak about because I don't want to, because I don't think it's fair. So, anyways, let's do a secret word. Let's do this. Call it Chantel. A special word. If you type in Chantel and on the comment section on the website, or on even in the comment section of Apolog, the Apolog Facebook site, I'll send you a free download for the Downline for a Line, which is the last Foursquare album I did a couple of years ago. It's a great record, actually. Chantel. Okay, everybody. Next week, I don't know who I got next week, but it's going to be good. I got a few people lined up. I have an actor who I met who's very good. I have some really cool, neat stuff coming up that I can't talk about, but I'm waiting for it to all go through, and then you'll all hear it. As soon as I hear it, you'll hear it. It's exciting stuff. What do you call that? Is that called a tease? I think it is. I'll see you next week. I will definitely be here, okay? Thanks for listening. I love it. Bye.